But I'm just glad. I'm glad I can sit, stand, or whatever. I can just preach the Word of God. Somebody say amen. And by the way, we need the Word of God. I asked Chad to read, and I want you to follow. I want you to follow this passage all the way to the end. I want him to read all 31 verses. I'm going to try in the next 40 minutes to give you an overview of this whole passage. I want to encourage you tonight. Now, let me say this. You may not need what I'm preaching tonight, but you will need what I'm preaching someday. Are you listening? And probably there's folks in this room, you folks on live stream, please share the service, because there's people in this room, probably on live stream, you're going through something right now and you need some help and need some hope. I want you to know, we got help in the Word of God. Chad, read these 31 verses for us.
John 14.
Follow.
Verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know.
Yes.
Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?
Yeah.
The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
Yes.
Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yes, yes.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
My God.
At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father.
Yes, sir.
And I will love him,
yes,
and will manifest myself to him.
Yes.
Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words.
He will.
And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Thank you, Brother Chad, in those wonderful words. Now, most of us are familiar with the first six verses. But we're not as familiar with the rest of the verses. But I want to say to you, in this passage of Scripture, there's six words that's mentioned in verse number 1 and mentioned in verse number 27 that I want you to notice real quickly with me. And then we'll give you a couple of thoughts tonight and we'll go home. The Bible says this. Listen to these six words. Let not your heart be troubled. Look at verse 27. The last part of it. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. And then he added a little blessing on top of that. Neither let it be afraid. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Words of hope in a hopeless hour. Words of hope in a hopeless hour. By this time, Jesus Christ has been denied or is going to be denied. He pronounced that Simon Peter was going to deny him. He had already just told him that Judas was going to betray him. He told him in chapter 13 that he was going to die on a cross. And what happened to these people was this. These disciples are just like us. When death comes or when somebody departs from us, it fills us with uncertainty. Fills us with hurt. Fills us with pain. He had been with them for 3.5 years. He is now going to leave them. But I'm thankful that when he left them, thank God he didn't leave them comfortless. Somebody say amen. I want you to know something. I believe in this hour, even in this hour where it seems so hopeless. How many of y'all agree with me? Our world's in a mess. Wave at me. It is in a mess. You know, I marked this down. Just right after January 1st, I paid $1.78 for gas. Hello? And I paid $3.43 this week. What are you saying, preacher? We're a mess. We're a mess politically. We're a mess. We don't even know gender lines. We don't know a good definition of a marriage. One man for one woman for one lifetime. Somebody help me preach tonight. Things are changing before us every day. But I want you to know I'm serving a Christ that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Somebody help me preach. I'm going to give you just 2 points tonight. A whole bunch of sub-points, but just 2 points tonight. You may have came tonight and you're troubled. Or you're online and you're listening to me preach tonight. You're in trouble. We got a lot of hurting people in our church. I don't know if you know how many. We got a bunch of hurting people in our church. And I want you to know when they're hurting, the preacher's hurting. My heart went out today. Brother Curry, I got the news this morning real early that he went home to be with the Lord. I'm happy for him, but I'm hurting for Sue. And we've had death last week, Lynn, and then Brother Ray and his family. There's just been so much chaos and so much hurting. And folks, there's so many people sick yet and so many people out of work yet. But I want to give you some hope tonight that Jesus Christ is real. And Jesus, if you have a personal relationship with Him, He can help you through anything. Now let me give you two main thoughts tonight. Look at verse number 1-6. And I want to talk first of all about hope for tomorrow. Hope for tomorrow. How many of you know that we don't know what's on tomorrow? But I know who hopes tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen to you. I had two of my preacher friends under 55 died this year of COVID. The church is just crushed and going through it tonight. You say, preacher, is it a real disease? It is a real disease. And let's not be knuckleheads about that. But I got a God that's greater than COVID. But I want you to know we got hope for tomorrow. Look at verse number 2. Stay with me. The Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions. First of all, we got a heavenly home. You know, Christians are the only people I know that talk about heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. I don't know if you realize this, that when we leave this place, absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. If this earthly tabernacle dissolves, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal into heaven. I want you to know, I think sometimes we think this life is all it is. It's just a small fraction compared to eternity. But I got an eternity where there'll be no sickness, where there'll be no sorrow, where there'll be no funeral homes, where there'll be no cemeteries. Somebody help me preach. I got a heavenly home. Praise God. I want to say something to you. Sister Lynn went home to be with the Lord last week. Larry went home to be with Him today. But hold it. This is not the end. One of these days, I'm going to see Him. And all, do you know, in the last 18 months, I've had more funerals at this church than I've had in any two-year period since I've been here. It's just been all over. But I want you to know, why do we go around and we got our head down. If they're in heaven, they're in a wonderful place. Somebody say amen right there. They're going to a place where, glory to God. Jeff and I was talking about it. When we get to the New Jerusalem, that New Jerusalem, by the way, is for you. It is for the bride. It's for the church. And some say it's going to be a satellite city. I don't know what it's going to be. All I know is I'm going to live in it. Somebody say amen. And there'll be mansions there. And there'll be wonderful things there. And there'll be no sickness there. No crying there. No death there. Somebody help me preach. Yes, sir. Hope for tomorrow. You say, Preacher Smith, do you really believe what you're preaching tonight? Amen, I believe it. Yes, sir. And secondly, not only do I have a heavenly home, but in verse 3, look at that. I got a heavenly hope. I've been thinking about this all day. And if I go and prepare a place for you, say it with me. I will come again. Y'all got your Bibles open? Would y'all all read this with me? I want to get you happy. And if I go and prepare a place for you, say it with me. I will come again. Somebody say amen. That's a heavenly hope. Hey, I'm not looking for Joe Biden for my hope. I'm sure not looking for Schumer or Pelosi for my hope. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in handouts. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in Jesus. He said He's coming back. And you know what? I think everything that we're seeing right now is laying a platform for the coming of Christ. Just read Matthew 24, which is going to be a tribulation picture. It's talking about pestilence and sickness and sorrows. And I just heard today there's a new bug on the horizon. I thought, I ain't used to this one yet. A new one on the horizon. And you said, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I got a heavenly hope. I believe Jesus Christ is getting ready to come after the church. By the way, the church is going through the not going through the tribulation period. And the tribulation period, a lot of the signs of the tribulation period, we're seeing right now. So how close is the coming of Christ? We got hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 3. Still, let's read some more. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Listen to this. That where I am, there you may be also. We're going to have a heavenly homecoming. Somebody say amen. A heavenly homecoming. Well, glory. You always said to the disciples, I'm leaving you. But boys, I'm coming back, and you're going to get to come where I am. How many's got a loved one over on the other side? Maybe a dad, a mom, uncle, aunt, a child. Can I give you something? One of these days, we're going to see him again. I got a dad over there that I was responsible for his salvation and giving him the gospel. Of course, God saved him. I got a dad over on the other side. I'm going to see him. I got a mama that was the one that trained me and prayed for me. And I'm saved today because of a mama. I'm going to see him because somebody helped me preach. Hey, we're not hopeless people. We got hope for tomorrow. This world's one that has no hope. This world doesn't have any answers. But if you're saved today, you've got a reunion one day. If you're saved today, you'll meet your loved ones on the other side today. But if you're not saved, you won't see them again. Whew. Am I preaching? I talked to somebody on the phone this week. I got a call and they called me down to the house. And they were crying and weeping. They were hurting real bad. They had just lost a loved one. Just lost their mama. And I asked him, I said, your mama saved? And he said, yes. I said, are you saved? He said, yes. I said, I want you to know, you're going to see your mom one day. He said, I don't really understand the Bible very much, but I want you to know something. We're going to a place that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has got laid up for us. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we live so much for this world. We live so much for what's around us. We live for the temporal. When the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we ought to be living for the eternal because we got a whole lot more over there than we got here. Somebody help me preach. How many of you right now just think about a loved one over there right now? Come on. You got a dad, a mom over there? Think about it. Think about seeing them again. Think about the reunion you're going to have again. The world don't have that hope. Lost people don't have that hope. But we got that hope. Number two. Somebody say amen. You said, preacher, I don't need this. Oh, you might need it if one of your loved ones dies this week. You might need this if you die this week. Because, see, you don't know how long you're going to live. Because lately, a lot of people have been dying of this COVID that's under 50 and under 40. And I just heard the other day of an 18-year-old boy. I knew his daddy that died just a couple weeks ago. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me out. We don't know what's going to take us out, but I do want you to know I got a hope on the other side. I got hope for tomorrow. This is not the end. This world's not the end. The mess we're in is not the end. Thank God we got hope for tomorrow. But the best part is yet to come. Let me give you this. This is from verse 4 to verse 31. And just follow me in the scripture now. I want to get all of this across. If I can, I may not. But I'm going to try to. Not only do we have hope for tomorrow. And let's be honest. Let's be honest a minute. A lot of us don't want to think about tomorrow. We don't want to think about death and sickness and sorrow and pain. But whether we don't want to think about it or not, it's a reality. Aren't you glad we got hope for tomorrow? But let me give you something even better than that right now. We got help for today. in verse, glory to God, I'm about to get happy. In verses number 4 through 31, it says we have help for today. Number one, we got help in salvation. Now, if you're a sinner tonight, look up at me. I'm going to read two verses here that will explain to you absolutely how you can be saved today. Look what it says. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Listen to this. This is one of the great I ams of the scripture. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody say amen. Thank God he is the way. Now let's go over that verse. I want you to get it. How can I be saved? He's the way. Now I might as well just, I want to get up so bad. Let me look at you in your face. There ain't a lot of ways to heaven. Look at me. There's one way to heaven. And it's not through religion. And by the way, the Baptists don't have a hold on it. They're not the only ones saved. Somebody help me preach. And I know some of us think we're the only ones saved, but we're not. And there's some Baptists I don't think are saved. Amen. He is the way. Neither is there salvation in any other name. But he is the way. Thank God. You say, preacher, I want to be saved. Why don't you just simply trust him? You know, some of you have been hearing me preach the last few weeks. You said you believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's all you need to believe to go to heaven. He said, I am the way. Then he said, well, not only how can I be saved, Chad, how can I be sure he's the truth? Yeah. By the way, I know I'm saved. Now, I've been hitting a lot on these Calvinists. That's a hopeless group, you know that? None of them know they're saved. They're persevering to the end. They believe the only way you're going to know you're saved if you endure to the end. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not Bible. I know in whom I believe, and I believe he's able to keep that which I have committed to. By the way, I know I'm saved. How many in this room know you're saved? Raise it up if you know. No doubts, no doubt. You die tonight, you're in heaven. No doubts, no doubts. Hallelujah. You can't get nothing better than that. And you know why we are sure? Because we got the truth. I don't know if anybody in this room has ever doubted your salvation. The devil tries to make you doubt. He tries. But here's what you need to do for the devil. You take him to the truth of the Word of God, that whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. You take him to a place where you trusted Christ. And somebody help me preach. I know I'm saved. Sometimes, come on, help me. He gets on me about things. Then I look at him and he tries to throw up my past. I was a sinner. I know I was, but you were too. But every time he starts throwing up my past, I start telling him about his future. He going to the lake of fire. That's the truth. And we're going to heaven. That's the truth. He's going to lose. That's the truth. We're going to win. That's the truth. Somebody help me out. Lord God. Number three. Well, I like this. How can I be saved? He's the way. How can I be sure? He's the truth. Listen to this. How can I be satisfied? He's the life. I want y'all to know something. I have more fun than some of you when I'm asleep. I've got to tell y'all something. He gave me, I don't know about y'all. I want to tell you about me. Since I've been saved, he satisfied me. Man, I tell you, he satisfied me. He's my life. Everything about me is him. I go to bed with Jesus, get up with Jesus. Thank God. It's Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noon, Jesus all day long. You say, you crazy about Jesus? Sure am, because he changed my life. I preaching? Help for salvation. If you're not saved, maybe you got loved ones, maybe a mom over on the other side, or a wife, or a husband over on the other side. You're not going to see them until you get saved. But you will see them if you get saved. And we will have a reunion, and you will have hope. But number two, I'm going to read some verses here that absolutely flabbergasted me. He's hope. He's help for salvation, but look at verses 12 through 14. He's help for service. Look at these verses. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, amen? This amazes me. The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I just can't. I'm afraid to get involved, and I'm afraid to get too far in this thing, and I'm afraid I'll fail. But you know what he said? He'll honor us. Here's what he said. Now, I didn't say this. He said this. He said, you'll do greater works than I did. Now, why? How could he say that? Well, I understand it. Okay. When he was on this earth, he was in a body and he was limited until after his resurrection. And then he went through walls and everything else. But he was limited to one place. Amen. Guess what? Now, he is in all of us. And when all of us spread out and all of us go, because we're in quantity, a greater number, we can go out and do wonderful work. He said, you're going to do more than I'm going to do. Hallelujah. There's a lot of preachers who say, well, I just can't build a church. You can if you let God honor you, and you can if you please God, and you can if you let God take care of it. Hey, you can serve. You can work in the bus ministry. You can work in Sunday school. You can work in a water. You can do something for God. You can work with these highways and hedges, kids. You know how? Because God will honor your effort. Then verse 13 and 14. This is one of my favorite passage scripture in the Bible. Y'all follow me? And whatsoever ye shall ask. Let me say it. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Not only will he will honor us, he'll hear us. I tell you what has really happened in my life, and I'm glad for it. The last 9 weeks, I'll be honest with you, I've never faced something physically like this. And I had a lot of pain. But I tell you what, I've been left up at night a few times. And you say, what do you do when you get up at night and you can't sleep for a few hours? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I start talking to him. You say, why would you talk to him so much? Because he hears me. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I still believe that my God answers prayer. Amen. And when he says his name, that's meaning we're praying in his will. Amen. We're using his name and his authority. And he answers prayer. He will hear us. How many's glad he hears you? Amen. Let me ask you, how many's had at least one prayer answered last month? Well, you ought to be up here shouting. Amen. You had a prayer answered this last month? Well, I sure had. I've had some heartaches this last month. I see some of our people hurting this last month. But I want you to know something. I've had some prayers answered this last month. Number one, I prayed that God let me out of that hospital. I thought I was going to die. But I'm here. I'm preaching. I'm not yet on my feet, but I'm praying about that too. I can't wait till I get to run down them steps again. You said you better not do that. Well, I'm thinking about it. Somebody say amen. He will hear us. Look at verse 13, 14 again. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not only will he honor us, not only will he hear us, he will help us. Yeah, I seen Allison tonight. Allison, I pray for you every night. Pray for your mission trip and what you're doing. And I want you to know he'll honor you. He's going to bless you. Hey, he'll bless anybody that goes out and tries to do something for God. Somebody help me. He'll help you. Just think about it. Look at me. Look up at me. I'm an old bartender's boy. My dad run a bar. I didn't have no hope, no future. I thought it was in athletics. I was pretty good at that. But it wasn't in that. You know what God? Jeremiah said that preachers are called from the mother's womb. God had a big purpose for us. Somebody say amen. And you said, how have you been successful? How has God blessed so much here at the church? Because he helps us. He helps our deacons. He helps our staff. He helps us. Thank God. Somebody help me preach. He helps us. Number three, verse 15, then 19 through 24. Help for surrender. Now, look at verse 15. The Bible says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, I believe this, what I'm about to preach to you. I believe if God really saves you, he'll change you. Somebody help me preach. Amen. And he'll help you surrender and keep his commandments. And the greatest commandment is to love one another. How many of you, when you heard about Larry's death today, you went to your knees for Sue? I sure did. Because we love one another. See, he'll help you surrender. See, verse 15, 21, 24, that's the proof of love if you keep your commandments. Verse 21, look at, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest myself to him. Somebody help me preach. That's the promise of love. What God says, you keep the commandments, and you love me, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to hide you in my pavilion, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody say amen. Now let me go on real quickly. I got about 9 minutes. Verse 16, 18, and 26. We got help in the Spirit. Now I want y'all to know something. Look at me. When you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you'll ever get. You were sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. And first of all, in verse 16 and 18, he is a person. And his title is that he is Comforter. That's Paracletus. Or one that goes, one that comes alongside for aid of another. He's our Comforter. When I used to live on Chandler's Branch, we lived in a house that had, it had holes in it and everything else. But my mama kept me warm. You know how she kept me warm in the winter? She made a homemade comforter. That thing was about that thick. It was 100 degrees under that thing. And I got warm. Can I tell you something? If you yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll comfort you through whatever you're going through right now. I know, Brother Logue, I've been praying for you today. I know you got a lot of things on you. I pray for you today. I pray the Holy Ghost will just comfort you and touch you. Well, hallelujah. His personality, he's another comforter. That word means another of the same kind and quality. What that means is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the three are one. The Holy Spirit is God. And ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me you can't live a Christian life if God is in you. Don't tell me that you can't get help if God is living in you. You've got a supreme God living in you if you're really saved. Somebody help me preach. Verse 16b, his permanence. Oh, this. Look at this verse. Somebody help me. And I prayed the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, what? Now wait a minute. There's a bunch of Armenians out there that teach that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost. That's impossible. You know why it's impossible? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and He is God, and He sealed you, and He sealed you forever. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear preaching on eternal security, but I want you to know, I'm glad I'm eternally secure. That's not a license to sin. That's not a license to act like a devil. Actually, that's a license to really have victory in Jesus. Somebody help me preach. He's in us forever. I had somebody call me the other day. He was full of doubt. And the devil just beat you around a little bit. Someone raise it. The guy had been through a lot, and he was in trouble. He just had a lot of problems. But he's saved. I know he's saved. I can tell by the way he lives. And he said, you know, for the first time in a long time, the devil come up to me to try to tell me I'm lost. And I went in the scripture, and I showed him, after you have trusted and believed the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost promise. And that old boy got up and he started shouting. Somebody said, say amen. And also the Holy Spirit gives us purpose. Hallelujah. What does he do for us? Let me try to end. First of all, he indwells us. I want you to know, if you're saved, he's in you. If you're saved. And verse 21, he invests in us. You know what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life and your life and this church's life? He's investing in us. He's working for us. Verse 26, look at it. It said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, he shall teach you. Thank God he's a teacher. I got to close it in a moment, and I am. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, man, you bring up things in the Bible that when I read them, I don't get it. And I told him, well, the Holy Ghost is invested in me. And I'll tell you what, you can understand the Bible if you have the teacher teaching you the Bible. Come on now. Here's what I do every time I start my Bible study. Maybe I'll have a commentary or something like that. That's okay. But I pray, Holy Spirit, illuminate this passage to me. And he teaches me. Thank God. He'll teach you how to live right. Somebody help me preach. He also inspires us. Verse 26. He said, whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, I will inspire you. Thank God the Holy Ghost, when he gets a hold of you, you need to be filled with him. He'll inspire you. Then last seven, verse 27 through 31. We got help in stillness. Listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I want to ask the church. I want to ask everybody in this church. How many of you have ever had God come to you and give you a peace that you couldn't really understand? Somebody help me preach. You know why he gives you that peace? Because he loves you. I want to tell you something. I remember when I was in the hospital, and I want to tell you, a lot of folks don't really know the extent of how bad that was. It was pretty bad. But a peace came over me. Somebody asked me, did I think about dying? I really did. I thought I was. But I tell you what. Brother O'Brien, I wasn't worried. There's a couple of nights I just soon he'd go ahead and take me. I'm talking about a peace. And by the way, he'll give you a peace even when you're in trouble. And when you've got a storm. And you went through a crisis. How many's ever experienced that? I mean, you can't really explain it. He didn't come in an earthquake and he didn't come in a fire. But he come in a still, small voice and assures us he loves us. We got hope for tomorrow and help for today. Bow your head with me. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand high. How many didn't raise your hand, but you want to go to heaven one day and you want to be saved and you want to know you're going to meet your loved ones one day? Will you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Anybody here? Just say, Preacher Smith, I need to be saved. Pray for me. How many Christians in the room, online? And by the way, if you want to share a burden online, go ahead and share it. And the staff and I will look online and pray over your burden. But how many in this room, you have a specific burden tonight? How many has something troubling you tonight? Be honest. How many, if you have something troubling, raise your hand. All the half. That's something troubling. Would you stand with me? Will you right now? And we're closing. Stand with me. Everyone that raised your hand that feels like you have trouble, will you come? What Jesus said, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just step out of your seat and come around this altar and say, Preacher, I got some trouble in my life. There's folks coming from all over, and I want to pray. I want God to intervene. Come on. Online, if you're online and you're listening, will you please, right by your table or your bed or wherever you're at, will you bow your knee right now? Ask God to help you. Ask God to take your problem. Ask God to take your burden. There's burdens in this building tonight. I know there's burdens online tonight. Let your heart not be troubled. Six wonderful words that God can take and change your life tonight. Let your heart not be troubled. Our Father, folks have come. There's others that need to come and just pray. And God, I pray you'll touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep coming.